Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends.
This is The Show.
Come inside, the show's about to start.
Now, Kevin Wheeler, Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Awesome to be with you on a Tuesday morning. Got a busy day ahead. Obviously, a lot to cover. We're still going to be on the story with the Eric Greitens ad. We'll talk to Gene Evans, former chairperson of the Missouri GOP, coming up a little bit later on this hour. We will have a little bit more on the January 6th hearings coming up later on today. Some Cardinals, an update on the story that's advancing down in Uvalde a month after the shooting. We got a lot of really important things to get to today and a lot of ways for you to interact. So you can call, leave a voice, leave a text anytime you'd like. 314-436-7900. You can call and leave a voicemail at 314-944-1120. Those reactions welcome all day, every day on the show. If you go to the show KMOX on Twitter, at the show KMOX on Twitter, you can find all the different places that you can tune in and listen, including Facebook.com/KMOX1120. Chris Ronji, Amy Marks-Kors, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Amy is back. Amy, how are you like walking through and skipping through the hallways? Like you just ran a race that would have destroyed me, like literally killed me, murdered me, and you're just like popping around the office.
Well, the day after the marathon, my quads were super tired. Like sitting down was hard because the course was pretty hilly. I know they say Grandma's marathon in Duluth is not hilly, but it's about 600 feet of elevation gain, so there are these rolling hills. So my quads were pretty beaten up, but guys, it was a disaster.
Oh, a disaster?
It was a disaster.
Oh, no.
I know.
Why was it a disaster?
I know.
I mean, you're here. To me, that's success.
I know.
Not you laid up in a hospital somewhere.
I know. So the short of it is I fell apart at like mile 9, which is really bad when you have to run 26 miles. And something was off. It was not right. I had had some obstacles coming into this race, and about 4 weeks ago, I did have COVID, and I lost about 2 weeks of training, and it was interesting because my number one symptom during COVID was chest pain, but I really did think I was fine, and maybe I was fine, and maybe it just wasn't my day, but right around mile 9, if people are wondering, we were on pace in our pace group, and I could tell that my body was fatiguing, like I couldn't catch my breath. And in a marathon, when you blow up, you don't blow up at mile 9. You blow up at mile 17, 18, 20.
That's what my experience showed.
Yeah, right.
You
yeah,
should be pretty comfortable at mile 9. So at mile 10, I knew it wasn't going to happen. I stayed on pace through the half, and then it became like, will I make it to the finish? I walked 7 times, 7 separate times.
You ever done that before?
I have, but it's been a few years since I've walked. So, I was on pace through the half, but even going up to the half, I knew walking was coming at any moment because I could not breathe. And like I said, I don't know what it was. Maybe it just wasn't my day. I mean, no excuses. You have to show up on race day, and my body did not. I didn't. But there, I will say, it's one thing to suffer and push when you're striving for a goal, when you have that goal time in mind and you think it's all going to be worth it, I'm going to push my body. It's another thing to push through the suffering when the goal is gone. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my
you're
God,
striving
yeah.
for something that doesn't matter. I don't want to say doesn't matter, but it's not your goal anymore. And the goal becomes get to the finish line. So that's the serious side.
So it's almost
things.
like a consolation game for a lot of people. I mean, once you haven't won a championship and you're fighting for third place, it's almost like, eh.
It's kind of like,
right?
Ultimately, you have to respect the marathon. And anytime you get to the finish line, it is a sort of victory. Right?
Yeah. Sure.
And so for me, it was just.
But for you, you do this all the time. So this is not like a, like some people run one marathon once. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to train. I'm going to get ready for this one marathon because running this marathon is a life goal of mine.
Yeah.
And then they do it and that's the end of it. They never do it again. But you do this all the time, multiple times a year.
Yeah. Like once or twice I'll race a marathon and I'm racing it. So I'm trying to hit a time goal and again, so I have this goal. You work every day for 6 months. And I have to say that when you train for a marathon, and think of it, every day, usually, you know, a lot of times twice a day you're running, every meal you eat, going to bed early, all these decisions for this race. And then when it blows up, honest to goodness, it feels like a breakup. You feel heartbroken because you invested so much into this race and then you're betrayed because you have one day. You've got to show up on that one day and there are so many factors that could make it go your way or not. And that's what makes it such a fickle sport. But then when you get to the marathon, you know, it's like you owe it to the sport. You owe it to your training to get to the finish line. So it was a character building run and I definitely feel tougher for having finished it to show you how much I was suffering. And people are going to like, say, what are you even talking about? I walked at mile 26. I could not even get that last quarter mile. I was running, and then it was a on-ramp or a bridge, you know, a slight incline.
Right, right.
And my body just said no. So
I think most people will completely identify with being at mile 26 and being like, yeah, I'm just going to walk the finish.
But you have to run it in.
And of course, for me, it would have been like the last 23 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. about three and then, you know. But it,
yeah,
sir, you're still running it's dark out.
I know.
You're still running this marathon?
But when the show tweeted out, you know, where did I finish? And I said, I finished at, ma'am, we're going to get the medic place. I crossed the finish line and I'm out of it because I have been completely internalized, literally talking to myself for the past 16 miles, like one foot in front of the other and just suffering through this thing, not even sure if I could finish. I crossed the finish line and you're out of it. And I'm walking and I guess I'm like kind of stumbling. And all of a sudden I realize this man next to me, like a volunteer, I hear him saying, good job. You're doing great. Keep walking. Good job. But I'm not processing it. And he said, you know, he's like, do you need a medic? And I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't even remember what I said. And I'm like, I just need to sit down. So in the middle of the asphalt, I just sit down and then I start to lie down.
Yeah.
And he's
been there.
Yep. And he's like,
not after a marathon.
No, just like after work.
That's after the show's over. I gotta lay down.
Like halfway through the newsroom and I'm like, I think I'm just gonna sleep here.
We'll take a nap.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm gonna get the medic. So then the medic shows up and I'm sprawled out on the curb. And she said, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I just can't catch my breath. And I was a mess. But, it, you know, we finished the race. And what's crazy is we saw that the low on Saturday in Duluth was 47. And it never occurred to us that that low wasn't Saturday morning, that low was Saturday afternoon. So the race, it was actually 66 degrees and sunny, which is pretty darn
That's
warm
like
for a
perfect,
marathon.
Right?
Well, it's pretty warm.
A little bit?
Yeah. Okay. Once it hits 70, they say like you can't really run your best. And I know that sounds crazy, but it was warm enough because the entire course is exposed and it's beautiful. It's a point-to-point course along rolling hills all along the shore of Lake Superior. The entire time you're running, Lake Superior is on your left and it's just absolutely gorgeous, but it's very exposed to the sun. So they were handing out cups of ice and I was dumping ice and like catching it in my sports bra. I was like filling my sports bra with ice to cool off because you get so warm. But by the time we finished the race, the temperature started dropping. And so about 30 minutes, 40 minutes after, you know, you're walking around outside in the finish chute, just shivering because the temperature dropped to like 50 degrees. You're soaking wet from the ice. And then I was just a shivering mess. It's hilariously, I was probably hilariously pathetic at that moment.
But you're going to do all this again.
Yeah, in November.
You just described something like, you know, when that happens to me, I don't think I'm going to do that again.
Good,
and
man.
You're like, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, whatever. What is it? What'll it be like 6 months, 8 months? How long do you take between?
Probably about 5 months.
5 months,
yeah,
okay.
So I'll take a week off and then start building miles back up again. But I will say this, Grandma's is a beautiful course. I've never been to Lake Superior. I didn't realize we were so close to Canada either. Again, I didn't look at the map, but it's just 700 miles straight up. And it is a beautiful course. The race is awesome. It brings a lot of really fast people, so a lot of pros. And I want to do a shout out to Eric Strand of Drury Hotels. He famously does the Grandma's Double. What is that, you ask? He wakes up at 2 in the morning and runs the course backwards to the finish line, or excuse me, to the start line. And then when the race starts, turns around and runs it back.
Oh, come on.
So he runs.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. 52 miles.
What an overachiever.
Now, hey, listen.
What are we doing here?
He actually runs it backwards. I don't even want to hear about it.
Like running backwards.
Physically backwards.
Like
backpedaling, yes. Yeah.
Now that would be something. Is there a backwards marathon?
There is a record, and it's really fast. I think the guy ran like 240-something running backwards.
Come on, really?
Yes. He's Googling it.
2 hours and 40 minutes running a marathon
really
backwards.
Really fast. 40-something, maybe 250.
That's outrageous.
I know, because they have all these records like fastest marathon dressed as a banana. Fastest
oh, what is that one?
Marathon, it's fast. Dressed as in a business suit. But Ron, you will appreciate this. Because it's a point-to-point, you had to get up early and then ride a bus. They put all the rate runners in school buses and bus them out to the start line.
Oh, no.
And then you run back to Duluth. And on the bus, I told everyone within earshot your pirate joke about the pirate with the steering wheel.
Did it kill?
Killed it.
Yeah.
Will you tell the joke?
So I've told the joke before.
Have you?
Yeah. Do you want to hear it again?
Yeah.
So, okay.
So, folks,
Kevin?
Imagine this. It's 5:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
We're on a
this
school
bus. This is pre-race.
Bus, pre-race on a school bus on a 45-minute drive out to the start line.
Pirate walks into a bar, Dave, and he gets into the bar, and the bartender looks at him and says, hey, you know you have a steering wheel on your pants. It's on the front of your pants because the pirate's got a steering wheel on the front of his pants. And the pirate says, yar, it's driving me nuts.
That's horrible.
That's a great one, and no. it killed on the bus of marathoners.
Yeah,
I believe she said, though, half the people laughed.
Because well, the ones that could hear.
The ones that could hear me.
Yeah.
There was this guy sitting next to me, and after the bus ride ended, he goes, thank you for the joke. I'm going to use that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he say it like that?
Yeah.
He was kind of a serious dude.
I was going to say, that's pretty intense.
Here's the thing about marathon
runners.
Although
it is before a marathon, I guess you kind of need to be intense.
I guess, yeah. I have one time...
Okay,
what?
No, I'm so glad you brought this, because you want to relax beforehand. So on the ride, the drive to the buses, we started singing, I Threw It on the Ground. We listened to that from Lonely Island. I threw it on the ground. That song?
I don't even know this one. You brought this up earlier, and I don't know it.
I don't remember it. We'll rejoin with it to see if anybody recognizes
it. Well, Amy's
it.
Alive. That's the good news.
Good
she
news.
Made it.
Amy's
Wait,
back.
Way to go, Amy.
A lot of ground to cover here on the show.
Trusted information, live and local. From the award-winning KMOX Newsroom.
I was walking through the city streets, and a man walks up to me and hands me the latest energy drink. Run faster, jump higher. Man, I'm not gonna let you poison me. I threw it on the ground.
All right, back in on the show, Amy Marks, course, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler. If you're watching on Facebook.com/KMOX1120, you saw Amy, like, throw it on the ground, as the man said, throw it on the ground. That was the song you guys were...
So, yeah, it was a song we sang, in our car, and then at mile 6, 7, 8, we had a little pace group around us. All of us were trying to run the same pace. It was like about 5 girls, a couple guys. We had a nice little group. Many, many feet make the miles light, so we were all together. And my coach goes, you have a song stuck in your head? You know, if you need one, I've got songs. And I said, no. I was like, this is what I'm singing. And I, because it was a joke between me and my coach and no one else around us, I'm like, I threw it on the ground. And they're like, that's not my dad. That's a cell phone. And there are about 3 people who got it and started just laughing hysterically because it was the last thing they expected to hear.
3 people out of how many?
Out of our group of 7.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's almost 50%.
Yeah, not a bad,
getting there.
Not a bad choice.
By the way, a texter for you from a 217 says, Amy, I had COVID at the very beginning of the outbreak. It was weeks before I felt right in terms of distance running. good for you for pushing through to the finish.
There you go. Oh,
and you know what? I thought Amy, I had forgotten. I remember she had told me she had had COVID, but I thought it was like 2-3 months ago. It was pretty recent.
It was a month ago, right?
It was four and a half weeks ago. Yeah.
So it's going to affect you.
4.5 weeks ago that I like tested positive.
Yeah.
Not since you finished with it.
Yeah.
So I had like one workout, but I really did think I was okay. And no, that thank you to the texter, because you kind of feel like you're going crazy. You're like, what's happening? You know, I know that I should be okay.
All right, coming up bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Jean Evans, former chairperson of the Missouri GOP, about the ad that has made some noise. And, you know, Ronj and I talked about it yesterday, but Amy, you were actually the one that sent it to us. I guess in transit, you were messing around on the phone, you sent it in, and you're the only one in here that hasn't really had a chance to... No, she was probably riding and tweeting, I would guess. Or were you driving?
She was driving and tweeting.
No, I was probably... Here's the thing. I drove home on Sunday.
Oh, so you were... Okay.
Yeah, I drove home on Sunday.
So you were just normal to yesterday, recovery yesterday.
Okay, I was on the couch on Monday. Yeah.
Cool. Well, you actually sent this to us, and we threw it into the show because it was fascinating, and it's the new Eric Greitens ad, and we've all described it. We know what it looks like. Some of the latest, by the way, today was banned by Facebook. So it is no longer available on their platform. It is still, last I checked, still on Twitter and obviously other
and Twitter has the notification.
It. Yeah.
The
warning, if you will. And then Ronj and I talked about it yesterday, but you haven't had a chance to give your 2 cents. So why don't you go first and then we'll advance the story with Jean Evans coming up in a few minutes.
Sure. And there are a lot of different angles. So I will just give you my gut reaction. This was my initial reaction when I saw it. And I was incredulous, because it seemed to be in such poor taste. It was wildly irresponsible considering the current climate we're in, when we've seen overheated political rhetoric, a lot of it calling for violence or using violent language, that even if someone has a right to make this video at this time, it is so deeply irresponsible. You had an assassination attempt on the Supreme Court judge, Justice Kavanaugh. You have the January 6th hearings. And when you couple a violent message, even though Greitens has said it's a joke or a metaphor, when you couple a violent message with the correlating message, if Democrats take over or if we let rhinos run the Republican Party, everything you value in America will fall apart. Violence as a joke coupled with a very real existential crisis is an incredibly dangerous combination. And so I was just shocked. And also, this wasn't a campaign ad against a Democratic opponent.
Which would also not be okay.
No, it's not. This is a campaign ad against rhinos, Republicans in name only. By the way, in 2015, Mr. Eric Greitens was a Democrat, so not sure how he became the poster child for a true Republican. And again, the definition of rhino is ever-changing. It's amoebic. It doesn't stand for anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, how devoted are you to Trump and whatever happens to tickle their fancies at that moment? Because there was no supporter who was more loyal, no apologist for Trump who was more consistent than Mike Pence. And Trump turned on him on a dime. And suddenly Mike Pence is the worst traitor and a rhino in the country. This very idea of rhinos is also cannibalistic, because anybody could be considered a rhino at any moment, because rhinos, the definition of rhino is non-existent. It's just the political whims. It's just, how loyal are you to Trump?
What's unsettling about it is, there are a number of things unsettling about it, but it's now become, if you don't agree with me, you're not even worthy of being here. And I know that what he probably intended was for it to be a joke.
He spoke with Ryan Recker on 97.1, and we'll play a little bit of that later on in the show. He was saying clearly that it wasn't serious. It wasn't meant to be taken seriously.
Right. But again, there are unwell people who will not take it that way. And you cannot just label the people you don't like or agree with as enemies.
Yes, and I cannot stress this enough. And this whole Greitens movement, right, to hunt the rhinos is contingent on having people you disagree with, because it's fueled by outrage. It's worth standing up for something. It's this faux outrage. So if you remove the outrage, you castrate the movement. There's no movement here because you have to be angry at people. I am a evangelical Christian conservative homeschooler. I'd be the people that Eric Greitens is hunting.
Yeah.
They're little LARPing as pseudo-patriot tryhards. And it's not they're not going after the Viet Cong in Vietnam. It'd be like me and John Hancock. Get a life.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, it's Tom Ackerman. Join me Monday mornings at 9:50 for our new feature, 5 Minutes with Number 5. And you know who that is? Albert Pujols. 5 Minutes with Number 5, Mondays at 9:50 a.m. on the Voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Tuesday morning on the show, Chris Ronji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here, and happy to have Gene Evans, former chairperson of the Missouri GOP, with us here on a Tuesday. And Gene, first of all, thank you. Welcome to the show. We appreciate your time today. Hope things are going reasonably well.
Yes, thanks for having me. And I just want to say I'm so proud of Amy for finishing the race. As a fellow athlete, I've been in a similar situation in a different sport, and you just got to finish, even when you don't win.
Oh, thank you so much, Gene. That means a lot. Oh, okay.
and there's more.
And that's really all the only reason we had you on. Yeah.
Thanks, Gene. Good talking to you.
That was great.
Okay, well, let me jump in now. Oh, that was amazing.
I guess we're done here.
Okay, Gene, I want to get your perspective on the Greitens ad, you know, hunting rhino. It's rhinos. It's open season for rhinos. We've talked about this before. After January 7th, when I spoke about what happened at the Capitol, I got a lot of really, really hateful comments and emails and letters, and all of them were from within the Republican Party, saying that I'm the reason why the country is going to hell. And I know you experienced also the division within the Republican Party. What were your thoughts on the ad?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you've had those kind of threats hurled at you, you take that a little differently. So I don't want to rehash the past, but, you know, people were making threats to us at the party to step up and help the president more before January 6th. And I didn't take it that seriously. It was disturbing, but I didn't know they were going to storm the Capitol, obviously. But I think that Greitens is trying to target a certain segment of voters. In this primary, he probably only needs 190,000 votes to win. And then he will be the nominee, and he has a decent chance of becoming the U.S. Senator. So if he can just energize and mobilize about 190,000 Republican primary voters, he can win. And I think that's what he's trying to do here, even though he's alienating the rest of us.
So it's got to be unsettling to you. I know it is to Amy. She, you know, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. So it has to be unsettling that this is the way. And I can't imagine this will be the last time a politician attempts to win a primary or an election by going this route.
No, we hear this rhetoric all the time. I mean, Schumer saying to the Supreme Court, we're coming for you. And then you actually have someone coming for Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. These words have meaning. And there are people out there that are susceptible to this, whether they're mentally ill or just crazy, and our leaders need to be more responsible.
Yeah, I'm glad you point that out. A couple of years ago on the steps of the Supreme Court, Schumer did say that, you know, he called out Kavanaugh and Gorsuch by name and said, you have released the whirlwind, you will pay the price, you won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. So there is that escalation of rhetoric. And for me, if it's wrong when Schumer says those things, it's wrong when Republicans say those things. I thought the Greitens ad was highly irresponsible and inappropriate. But my one thought was, and maybe this is me being an optimist, Gene, and I'd love to get your thoughts. There is a division within the Republican Party. And do you see, as the Greitens side, that team becomes a bit more violent and turning its back on other Republicans, that maybe the type of Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger Republicans will stand up and say, no, this is not the direction we want the party to go in. We want to restore a true conservative values Republican Party.
Yeah, I think you're already seeing that, but I don't think we're anywhere near healing. There was a lot of nasty rhetoric in the state house this year, and there were some threats made. Certain folks were called rhinos for supporting different maps when it came to the redistricting. And the Highway Patrol is involved. Certain of our elected leaders who are Republicans received credible threats, at least as believed by the Missouri Highway Patrol, and I have no reason to doubt them. So they had to provide protection to these leaders from members of their own party who were calling them rhinos and saying they were coming to their they're coming for you, right? Like, we don't know what that means anymore, but when they're publishing an address on the internet and saying we're coming for you, law enforcement gets involved, as they should.
It's interesting to me, Gina, that, you know, there have been statements. There have been people using words in horrible ways in politics for a number of years. We're coming for you is obviously an example of that. I think there's a difference between that, because if Eric Greitens had an ad yesterday that was just him standing there sitting on a porch and said, we're coming for the rhinos, I don't think we're even talking about it today. It's the imagery of busting into somebody's house surrounded by people in tactical gear and holding a shotgun, given the current environment, is more the issue here, right?
Oh, I agree 100%. And I think he's kind of walking it back a little bit by saying it was a joke, right? Like, that's what you say when you say something or do something completely inappropriate. You like, oh, it was just a joke. I mean, I don't do that, but people like to do. So
I do it all the time in this room.
So I think he recognizes that he went a little too far. Now they're trying to say it's a joke and it's faux outrage and the snowflakes and the rhinos are outraged. But he is a real threat to becoming the next U.S. Senator from Missouri. And we have plenty of other options. So Republican primary voters need to elect somebody else. And if they don't, he may be beaten by a Democrat, but he may not. I just don't know. It'll be a toss-up for sure.
Do you see any de-escalation of the political rhetoric that we just talked about? Amy Coney Barrett now has people protesting at her house, but the pro-choice activists who were protesting also put the address of her kids' schools online. I mean, which is just crossing a line. And you see that. You see the Greitens video and everything.
The Kinzinger letter.
The letter to Adam Kinzinger saying that, right, threatening to execute Adam Kinzinger and his wife. This is really disturbing imagery and threats and action that we're seeing.
Well, we have to get both sides to agree that all of it is bad. It's so easy to just point out what the other side is doing and not take responsibility for folks on our own side of the fence. So that would be a big step, whether it's Schumer, McConnell, Biden, you know, Trump. I mean, to take responsibility for this type of language and how it affects certain people and to tone it down. And I just don't see that kind of leadership right now in our country. But I do think things are changing a little bit here in Missouri. We'll see after these primary elections. But it comes back down to not enough folks vote in their primaries. They think all the action is in November, when truly these decisions are made in primaries.
Gene, you said earlier that you think we're a long way away from healing. I don't know if it's possible to estimate how long that might take, because for a lot of us who are just really looking at the environment, it feels like we are an eternity away from that.
I think it's going to take a really dynamic leader to come along that people can get behind. You know, on our side, I look at Tim Scott, a South Carolina senator. I mean, he's fantastic. He understands the complexity of these issues. It can break them down pretty simply, and he's got broad appeal. That's someone that I would you know, look to. I'm sure there are folks on the Democrat side who could possibly offer a more unified vision that is not so divisive. Mm-hmm. But both sides feel like traitors in their own party, I'm using their words, traitors in their own party have sold them out. So whether you're, you know, Cori Bush complaining about the Biden agenda or, you know, Eric Greitens complaining about the McConnell agenda, the problems are inter-party and they're terrible. It's that the people in your own party are far meaner to you than the folks on the other side of the aisle most times. That's been my experience.
Yeah.
Gene, you know, we'll close on this because, you know, the idea here should be that we all have more in common than we have in terms of differences, that the enemy of the Republican Party is not the Democratic Party. The enemy of the Democratic Party is not the Republican Party. The enemies are outside entities that want to damage the United States. And we play into that by doing all of this. And Amy made a great point. So I don't want to make it for you. Yeah. I want you to, because we were talking about this during the break and she painted a picture that I think was important.
Yeah. I mean, you can have profound disagreements with Hillary Clinton or Liz Cheney, but I have talked to Afghan refugees, female Afghan refugees, and what they've seen in Kabul and in their hometowns in Afghanistan. And if you put Hillary Clinton and Liz Cheney and you, Gene, and me on the streets in Kabul, we're suddenly on the same side. And we realize how much we have in common as we see the atrocities that the Taliban is committing against women. Hillary Clinton is not my enemy in that situation. And it puts it in perspective that there's a very big difference between having an actual enemy and having someone with whom you disagree.
So true. I agree 100%. And sometimes it takes an outside force to unify people. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. I'd hate to see us go to war or face an invasion. But I think it's important for people to remember that our enemies do help spread this messaging, whether it's the Chinese or the Russians. They help push these narratives through social media because they know America divided is weaker and more capable of being taken over by them and their ideology.
Gene, we appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this. And we'll definitely look forward to doing it soon, hopefully on a slightly more pleasant conversation.
I hope so. Thank you.
You got it. That's Gene Evans, former chairperson of the Missouri GOP. And I think that is it, right? That last part to me should be the bigger message of all of it. Unfortunately, at the very top of the power structure in politics, we don't have any leadership on that at all. At the very top. It's too much about we have to win. How do we win? We win by making our opponent the enemy, not just an opponent, not just somebody that we need, that we want to argue with or disagree with, but someone that we have to defeat. And the problem is by doing this, we're actually defeating ourselves.
And what concerns me is there could be a really, as Gene said, a dynamic leader that comes along that appeals to a lot of people, but there's always going to be an outlet that wants to paint that person as divisive, no matter what they say. Remember when Obama, when he took, he made his speech the night he won, he said to the people who voted against me, I will be your president too. And what did they paint him as? Divisive. So I am very concerned that we are ever going to get to a place where we don't do that to the other side.
Yeah, there's no money in keeping things calm.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444. Chris Ranji.
Wonderful bones, great eyes, and you dress really interesting.
On the show.
All right, Tuesday morning here on the show. Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And Amy, you... In the what's on tap, you tease something that let's be honest, it intrigued me. There's always, first of all, do we do just like weekly studies on coffee?
Yeah.
Because I feel like every few days we have a new study, like coffee will make you brilliant. Coffee will kill you early. Coffee
will make you live longer.
What's coffee doing now?
Okay, here's what coffee's doing now. Coffee and credit cards may be a financial planner's worst nightmare, according to researchers from the University of South Florida. So scientists report.
Is that what it says?
It says
from where? Does it say where?
No, I know. it's like the science version of some people.
Some
people are saying.
The quote is, scientists report shoppers who sip on a complimentary cup of coffee before shopping ended up spending 50% more money and buying 30% more items than their non-caffeinated counterparts. This is...
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, because...
It's the Frank Harvey Endowed Professor of Marketing at USF.
Okay, the University of South Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense to me. Do you know why? Because you have that first few sips of coffee. Yeah. There's, for me, it's like sip number four where I really feel it. Like, oh, this is going to be great. This day is going to be amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in a great mood and you're at the mall walking around, you just want to spend a bunch
Ranji,
of money.
You spend a lot of time at the
mall. I love the mall. I love the mall.
Are you a mall walker?
Yeah. That's what that lady said to me. The worst insult of my entire life was a lady who worked at the mall who asked me if I was a mall walker.
Oh, that's so
cute. Oh, God. It's not cute. It was the worst.
It's because you look older than you are.
God, I wish things would happen to you.
But not like as old as the picture we posted yesterday on Twitter.
Which I didn't. Oh. Was he wearing a different shirt? I don't understand.
No, I look like... Kevin used the face app that makes you look old or makes you look younger or whatever. And my photo, I look like Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting for you to extract dino DNA from Amber.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's how they did this
study. I spared no expense.
Researchers set up an espresso machine at the entrances of retail chain and home goods stores in France and in Spain.
Uh-huh.
And upon entering those stores, over 300 shoppers received a complimentary coffee cup, right? And there was nothing in it. And then those who got the espresso spent 50% more than those who did not take the espresso.
Yep.
You know what my two favorite things
Beavis
are?
Beavis and Butthead had it right.
What'd they say?
Caffeine makes Beavis cornholio. And he loses his mind and he's crazy.
Okay.
It does. Like you,
and then you guys are just telling me that's what happens.
When people when you have
to Beavis.
Kevin, when you've got the energy that you've gotten from the coffee, like you want to visit as many stores as possible. When you haven't had the coffee, you're like, I just want to go home.
Do you know my two favorite things in the whole world are coffee and shopping. I love it.
So you were like the focus group for this study.
Coffee is like a performance.
By the way, I don't
drug.
Like shopping at all. I like buying.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk around and look at stuff. I just want, there's a thing I want. I want to go buy it.
I get it. That makes perfect sense. But this is why Nordstrom has a coffee shop, like their own coffee shop, right outside the store. As you're walking in, it's right there. And every Nordstrom, no matter where you go to, doesn't matter what city, they got a coffee shop right there. It's a Nordstrom coffee shop. I don't know what it's called. I think it's just called that. But yeah, they know. They probably were ahead of the game.
Yeah, Nordstrom's always ahead of the game.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, the companies do study all of this stuff in advance.
Yeah, like, they're not stupid.
Have you ever
marketing and advertising is all about this kind of thing.
Have you ever seen the science behind grocery store setups? And the way they put like produce in the front and they put essentials like milk way in the back, the music they play, the what's at eye level, the products that are at eye level. It is like, what is it? The Social Dilemma, that movie. It's like the grocery store
version
of that.
It's the grocery store algorithm.
It's the grocery store algorithm. Mm-hmm.
That's why people who sell to grocery stores, like they try to get good placement.
Yeah.
Like they work really hard at that.
Location, location, location.
Yes, that's it.
I've heard that before.
But that's usually about housing.
My mom used to say that. She goes, you know what they say? Real estate, real estate, real estate. And we looked at her and we thought, it's close. I'm not sure that's it.
There's always something a little off.
Stick around. Hour two of the show next on KMOX.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.